Okay, good evening, everybody. Shalom Aleichem, and welcome back for our next presentation in the series of El Shirim, Watch Your Step. Good. Tonight, we're going to speak on the topic of why slichos are recited when everyone else is sleeping. This is the last week where we can get some sort of normal night's sleep, but beginning this coming Motzei Shabbos, and for several weeks thereafter, we are going to be reciting slichos at some very... either very late hours, very early hours. And we're going to explore that topic tonight. First, we're going to take a few minutes to talk about the, just some of the, halachic issues without getting into any really lengthy or comprehensive discussion. And then I'd like to talk more, perhaps philosophically, about what may lie at the core of that very interesting tradition. So we're going to start with a halacha which is found in Shulchan Aruch, Simon Tov Kuf Pei Aleph, where the Mechaber teaches Noagim Lakum Ba'ashmores, that the custom is to get up Ba'ashmores. This is the expression that is found in the Torah, to get up in the very early morning hours, Lomar Slichos V'Tachanunim, in order to recite Slichos and Tachanunim, which are petitions, special prayers, and supplications that we recite this time of year. The Mechaber, of course, tells us that this tradition begins from Rosh Chodesh Elul, which is the custom among the Bnei Svarid. The Rama says over here, rather we start from either the Motzei Shabbos immediately preceding Rosh Hashanah, or as the case is this year, a week and change beforehand. But the Rama also acknowledges that the idea is to say Slichos Ba'ashmores. Ba'ashmores is very, very late at night, very early in the morning, before the period of Alos HaShachar. Interestingly, a time that is normally not designated for davening. This is a time that we normally would not daven. The Rambam similarly writes in Hilchos Tshuva, "Ubnayin Yudzeh, because the Aseres Mitzvah is such an important time of year, Nagu Kobeis Yisrael Harbos Bitzdakov Masan Tovim." The tradition is that we give tzedakah Masan Tovim, Vilasok Mitzvos Merosh Hashanah Vayom Kippurim Yasmi Kol Hashana. We do a little more than we would normally do, and then look what the Rambam says: "V'Nagu Kulam Lakum Balayla." The custom is that we get up at night, Basar Yamam Elu, Uspalu Bate Knesios, Bedivit Tachanunim, Upikivushin, Achiera Yom. We daven with great intensity, with great passion, and we do so again in the middle of the night. And this is unusual, and I think it's important to just, take a moment to reflect upon how unusual it is. There is, of course, a concept of Zriza Makdim in the Mitzvos, which we could apply to many different areas of halacha, which basically means that when you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, you should do it at the earliest opportunity. That being said, when it comes to davening, let's say, we know that people have their own davening schedules, and we do not frown upon a person who chooses to daven at the 6:30 minyan, the 7:15 minyan, 8 o'clock minyan, 8:45, whatever it is, as long as you have a schedule, you have a seder, but to get up, to be dafk at the earliest minyan, and over here, the Lashon of the Rambam is lakum, to get up, as if to imply that a person is setting their alarm earlier than usual. This is something which requires some explanation. Now, what is this all about? What is so special about this time of night known as Ashmores? So the Magen Avraham quotes an idea that I can only read back to you. I cannot claim to really know what it is that the Magen Avraham is speaking about over here. It is clearly based on Kabbalistic sources, but I think, I think there is what to be gained by just reading the words and translating them. B'nei Shachadosh Baruch Hu shot b'yud ches elef alamos u'besof ha'layla shot b'olam hazeh b'hu eis ratzo. He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu there are certain times in when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is his presence is more concentrated in certain areas of the universe. The Magen Avraham refers to over here 18,000 worlds. And at the night, b'sof halayla, the end of the night, the early morning hours, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more present, again, kaviyachol in this world, and this is an eis ratzon. Now, again, all I can do is translate, and I hope I'm even translating it properly. I know that the Magen Avraham is difficult to relate to, it's a difficult concept to understand. It's against the Beferish Shulchan Aruch, which Shulchan Aruch am I referring to? There you go. Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. So what does this mean, that Hashem is truly everywhere, but not truly, truly everywhere at all times? I don't know. But this is a very profound idea, and it is really guiding this discussion. The concept of Nes Ratzon, which the Magen Avraham alludes to, is an idea which is found in the Gemara. The Gemara tells us that the reason why we try to daven, let's say, in the presence of a minion, as the Gemara in Brachos Daf Chaf teaches, is because when you have a tzibur that's davening together, this is considered to be an Nes Ratzon. Now, obviously, we're going to say Slichos with a minion, but that is not enough of an Nes Ratzon. We want to really capitalize on this moment, and so therefore we are insisting that people come to shul at a time that is frankly either inconvenient or sometimes very difficult for people. Really difficult for people. But we're going to push ourselves because it's as if we are trying to unlock, we're trying to unlock a door. We are trying to access a certain window of opportunity, and by coming to shul at these very ungodly hours, we are trying to take advantage of a sort of a daily cycle, as explained to us by our Kabbalistic masters, explained to us by our rabbis. The Reb Moshe Feinstein in a tshuva, famous tshuva, which was written, looks like over here, in 1960. So he has a tshuva where he was addressed by a rav who was a rav in the Bronx. And this particular rabbi, Reb Berman, was concerned about the fact that people were afraid to come to Slichos at the early morning hours, or very late at night, because the streets were dangerous at that time. And he was concerned that if we do not accommodate these people, they're not going to come at all. And maybe, in fact, we should be concerned about the real, maybe it wasn't just a perception of danger, maybe, in fact, it was actually considered dangerous. So Reb Moshe begins this tshuva by saying that the question that was presented to him was, well, listen, the fact that we're davening in the shul is an Eitz Ratzon. The fact that we have a minyan is an Eitz Ratzon. Okay, so we're not going to be doing it at the ideal time, but it's still enough. Reb Moshe initially pushes back a little bit, and he says, listen, at the end of the day, we see that the concept of Slichos pushes us to be able to achieve a level of Eitz Ratzon which transcends the normal requirements of davening with a minyan and shul. Over here, we're pushing ourselves more that it should be precisely at this time in the night, namely from Chatzos and on, between Chatzos and Alos HaShachar. Nevertheless, Reb Moshe acknowledges that there may be situations where individuals who are not afforded the opportunity to say Slichos at a time that is more convenient, or at this time, frankly, it's considered to be safer, so then they may miss out on the entire Slichos experience. And so therefore, Reb Moshe writes that is a horashah, which means as a temporary injunction of sorts, we would sort of suspend or make an exception to the regular rule and say that in this particular situation, a person can go ahead, or rather in this case, a minion, could arrange to have a slichos, let's say early in the night, 9 o'clock, 9:30, 10 o'clock, and by doing so, they will at least afford the tzibur the opportunity to come to shul, because otherwise, people are going to miss out on the entire experience. He still says at the end, my recommendation is, if you can do so, to do it later in the night, as close to Chatzos as possible, for various reasons, both practical and a little more mystical in nature. But we see that Reb Moshe Feinstein, in really a very, very significant ruling in his day, said that it would be permissible to go ahead and to allow Slichos to recite it earlier at night, but really this should only be done on a case-by-case basis in a situation which is really needed. Otherwise, this is clearly a departure, not just from the norm, but by the very, very strongly recommended practice as found in our Rishonim. In other words, Reb Moshe is basically saying, at the conclusion of tshuva, really you should be saying it ba'ashmores. However, if it's that or nothing, then you have nothing to lose by saying it earlier. Comes along the late Rav Avad Yosef Zichrono Lebracha, and in tshuva that he wrote, he actually quotes Reb Moshe and refers to his tshuva and other sources as well, and he actually disagrees. Now, maybe not such a surprise, Reb Avad Yosef, who is perhaps quoting from, and maybe just by his inclination, his style, and his tradition, is relying more heavily on some of the Kabbalistic sources, actually goes as far as to say that saying Slichos at the wrong time of the night can actually be counterproductive. He also starts referring to ideas over here that I can't necessarily completely explain, but could properly translate, I hope. Basically says that, again, that there are different times in the day in which we are able to access Midas HaRachamim, and then there are certain times in the day in which it's what's called the time of Hisgabras HaDin, where there's just sort of this very strong time of judgment in the universe, and these are not times that we should be petitioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Slichos. In fact, he says efforts to do so may be counterproductive. A little hard to understand exactly what that means, but that is what he says. And he quotes from certain sources that say, "Ein lo maslichos b'tchilas halayla." Don't say it, because this is the time of Gabbas Adin, and better not to say it at all. Very, very strong words, and this seems to be the conclusion of Rav Avad Yosef. He does acknowledge at the end, he does acknowledge that there may be situations where people are simply unable to get to shul early enough or late enough, whatever the case may be, in which case he says, but the Eved, you could say slichos in the morning after the sun rises. You could even say it later in the day before you daven mincha. That, he says, is fine. But to say it at night, before chatzos, don't do it. Bad idea. So rules Rav Avad Yosef. So, in summary, this sort of first section of our discussion, you see that we saw that the Lashon of the Torah, the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch is that we say slichos bashmores in the early morning hours. And we see that the Rambam has this expression that a person should lakum, that one should get up in the middle of the night in order to say slichos. We mentioned that this seems unusual. This is different than the way we normally do things. And we're trying to understand why. So the Magen Avraham explains that this is based on an idea that there are certain times of the day, or in this case, the night, in which we have greater access to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, specifically Midas HaRachamim, and we're trying to tap into that. And we see how Rav Avad Yosef, Rav Moshe Zichron Livracha, and other poskim are struggling as to how to handle a situation in which a group of people or a person is unable to say slichos at the ideal prescribed time. Now, before we talk about the suggestion I'd like to offer as to why it is that we say slichos, or it's not necessarily my own reason, but in other words, to offer some insight is this idea of saying slichos in the middle of the night. Allow me to redirect your attention to another custom that we are all familiar with. The Ramah in some Tuf Kuf Pei Gimel teaches, V'gam Noagim Shalo Lishon V'yom Rosh Hashanah. Quotes from the Yerushalmi, an idea that there is a minhag, says the Ramah, minhag nachon hu, not to sleep on Rosh Hashanah during the day. Now, we know that many of us are busy throughout the day, so perhaps we don't even have time to sleep. But then, perhaps some of us are rather exhausted, particularly after a long morning in shul. I remember when I was in yeshiva, davening was very long. And by the time we got out of the meal, which was very late in the afternoon, there was only about an hour and a half, if I remember correctly, maybe 2 hours at most, before we davened mincha again. I remember just being physically exhausted, just really, really, really exhausted, which is a sign of success. That means that the morning was productive. It means that there was really a lot of effort that was made. And sometimes people really struggle trying to keep themselves up in the afternoon on Rosh Hashanah. Generally speaking, we don't frown upon people who take a nap on Shabbos Yom Tov. To the contrary, there's a strong tradition, Shein of the Shabbos Tanug. It's considered to be an appropriate way not to sleep the entire day, but one of the ways that we demonstrate our enjoyment of Shabbos is by sleeping. So the fact that this Yom Tov, this Chag of Rosh Hashanah, we don't sleep is a little unusual. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Ari that after Chatzos you're allowed to sleep. Chatzos is midday. Most of us would probably not have an opportunity to sleep before Chatzos anyway. Shekvaynis ora malachi de tefilos atkios. Again, another very mystical sounding idea, but the idea is that during the morning hours before Chatzos, we are trying to really again sort of maximize that moment and not sleep on the job already in the afternoon. Already we can let our guard down a little bit and not such a big deal. What's not clear is whether the Ari actually paskin this way or this is what he did, because the Mat Ephraim comments very funny. Halavai shehayav yachotenu lasos k'maseyu behekitz echad mini elav mashuah yimasakim b'shenasa. Halavai, we should be able to accomplish 1/1,000,000th of what the Arizal was able to do when he was sleeping, even when we're awake. He says so. When the Arizal was sleeping, it wasn't like just a small little thing. It was a big. Who knows what he was accomplishing when he was sleeping. So I think it's peculiar as well, and noteworthy for the moment, that we have this idea that we don't sleep on Rosh Hashanah. So we don't sleep before Rosh Hashanah, we don't sleep on Rosh Hashanah, we don't sleep during Aseres Metshuva. It's almost as if there is a predominant theme this time of year which says, stay up, stay up, stay up, get up, wake up. So what's going on in here? So I'd like to suggest an approach which will hopefully help us gain some insight and maybe a little inspiration as to what is going on over here. And I think that whether or not, regardless of what any individual's slicho schedule is, I'm hoping that this idea, is one that can resonate and inspire each and every one of us. So I'm going to do so by way of a story that we are familiar with. Some of you may have joined me last year during this time of year. We spent 4 or 5 weeks talking about Sefer Yonah. So we're going to come back to Sefer Yonah right now. I'm actually mentioning a new idea that they didn't share last year as part of these shiurim. And we're gonna begin with the first, basically the first parak of Sefer Yonah. Just a good review. Of course, we're going to be reading it on Yom Kippur. Vayidvar Hashem al Yonah ben Amittai le'emor. So Sefer Yonah begins with the word of God to Yonah. And he says, Kum leichel ninveh yuhayir agdolah ukra aleha ki alsa rasam lefanai. Yonah is instructed by God to go to the great city of Nineveh and call to them, reach them, speak to them, because they have become very evil before me. Vayakam Yonah levrach tarshishem lefnei Hashem. And we all know the story that Yonah goes ahead and he tries to flee from God. And he tries to escape by going to the city of Tarshish. Vayereb Yafo. He goes down to the city of Yafo, a port city. Vayimsa aniyaba ol Tarshish. Vayitein schar. Vayereb balavo yimahem Tarshisha milifnei Hashem. He pays the fee and he goes on to the ship and he tries to escape. Vashem itil rach gedolah al hayom. Vayisar gedol bayom. Vaniyach yishval hishaver. And as you know, God sends this great storm to the sea, and the thrashing waves and the howling winds start pounding at the ship, and the ship is on the verge of destruction. Cheshvali hishaver, it is in danger of being destroyed. All the sailors on the ship begin to panic. They are afraid. What's going to be? They're afraid they're going to die. So they start dumping things over. They start crying out to their gods. And what does Yonah do? V'yonah yarad el yarkesei asfina. Yonah goes ahead and he descends into the lower section of the ship. Vayishkav, he lies down. Vayiradam, and he goes to sleep. Yonah goes to sleep. Everybody else is afraid they're going to die. There's a terrible, dangerous storm at sea. Everybody's panicking and doing whatever they can to save themselves, and Yonah goes to sleep. Vayikravei lav Rava Chovel. Navi tells us that the Rava Chovel, the captain, approaches Yonah. But Yonah, he says, Malachan Yirdam, how could you sleep? Kum, get up! Kra el Elokecha ulay yisashes alokim lanu velonaveh. You should also daven to your God. We're all davening to our gods. You should daven to your God, and maybe he will spare our lives. Maybe he'll have compassion on us and save us. Vayomrei lav. And they say to Yonah, Mamalavtecha. Now, the Medrash points out, well, the Gemara tells us what's going on in the background of here. They start casting lots. They realize, again and again, they start to realize that Yonah's probably the source of this problem. They're very confused, and they start interrogating him. Mamalachtecha, what do you do for a living? Me'ayin tava, where are you coming from? Ma'artzecha, what's your land, your homeland? Ve'eni ze'amata, what nation are you part of? Vayomer aleihem, ivri anochi, v'ashem elokei ha'shamayim ani yirei. And he says to them, I am a Jew, and I fear God, God of the heavens, and the God of the earth. Asher asa sayom ve'asa shiyavasha. And as we know, the end of the parak tells us that he is cast overboard. So this is a familiar, famous story of Yonah who tries to flee God, and as the storm at sea threatens to kill everybody on the ship, everybody does anything they can do to save themselves, and Yonah goes to sleep. So I'd like to share with you the explanation, the insight, the interpretation of Sefer Yonah as explained by the Zohar. Now, to be clear, I don't believe that we need to conclude based on this interpretation that this is coming to replace the Pshat. We know that the story of Yonah, we have a very strong tradition in the story itself. So the Zohar is going to present sort of an alternative perspective, but they're not mutually exclusive. It's a way to understand sort of a deeper layer as to what is going on in the story. This is very, very powerful. Says the Zohar, Yonah denachas lesvinada, the Yonah that is referred to in this story, that goes to the ship, this is referring to the neshama of a person, the nachta layalma, the mehave begufa de barnosh, that comes into this world, and just as Yonah in this story descends into the ship, and embarks on this journey, so the soul embarks on a journey called life, and comes into this world. And so therefore says the Zohar, when a person comes into this world, it's as if they are embarking on this journey going to the ship the ship perhaps being their body. Continues the Zohar, Ukedei Barnosh Ozu Bayama Kesvina Baguyama Rabba. When a person travels through this world, so it's as if they are traveling the great sea of life, and the ship very often goes off course. The ship very often encounters all sorts of unexpected hazards along the way, icebergs, storms, the chashivas lizdabra, and at times it is great risk of being destroyed. As it says, in Yonah, v'haniyachish v'alihishaver. Basically says the Yonah, we know that when we come into this world, very often we navigate our way through the sea of life very recklessly. Ubarnosh kad'iu bayalma chati. People, when they are in this world, they sin. The chashiv, and people sometimes think, the orek makme mora, more, that they can escape God, they can flee from their responsibilities. V'lo eshkach bahu alma. And a person says, nobody's watching, I can do whatever I want. So what does God do in order to get the attention of this very arrogant sailor? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends Ruach Sa'ara Takifa, a very strong storm. And what is that? The Ihi Gezeras Dina. I don't know why the last word was cut off of there, but Gezeras Din. Gezar Din, Rosh Hashanah. Kevan, the Itfas Varnash Al Yada Hu Sa'ara. So what happens is, when the person who is, again, as we're imagining over here, living through the storm and trying to escape from his master. So Maksiv says the Zohar, what does it say happens next? V'yona yarada yakesei aseinava yishkav iradeh. Yona goes and he descends into the bellows of the ship and he goes to sleep. Af agav debarnosh babi mare nishmasa lovis aris la'asva kemei mare lemifrek chovet. And says the Zohar, a person over here recognizes and appreciates that he has certain responsibilities to towards his Creator, but rather than doing tshuva, rather than owning up to his responsibilities, he flees. And he puts himself in a slumber. So what happens next? What happens next is the captain in the ship approaches Yonah. Man Rav HaChovel, who is the Rav HaChovel in this metaphor? Da Yetzer Tov, the Iyub Manikola. This is the Yetzer Tov who tries to lead us all to make proper and responsible decisions. But Yomelo, and the Yetzer Tov says to this person who is fleeing God, Malcho Nirda, how could you sleep? Kum, Kerol El Kecha, get up, call to your God. Lav Shaitahu, Limidamach, Dosalkan Laladina. This is not a time to go to sleep. Don't you know what's going on? You're being judged. And everything that you've done in this world, tuv mechovcha, now is the time to do tshuva. Now is the time to look into the Torah, to look into the words, to look into yourselves, and to return to God. And finally, says the Zohar, sort of in concluding this passage, of this explanation, the Rabbi Chovel, the Yetzer Tov, turns to this person and says, Mamalachtecha, what do you do? So in the story of Yonah, we know Yonah was being asked, what do you do for a living? What does it mean, again, in this version of the story, when the Yetzer Tov says to a person, what do you do? Mamalachtecha, atasakta babayama, v'odiyalach, kamen morech. What are you doing in this world? What are you doing? How have you spent the last year? What are you up to? How are you spending your time? Go ahead, confess before God. Umeyayin tavo, and where do you come from? Do you remember where you come from? Istakum meyayin basa mitipa srucha v'lo tizgoi kamei. As the Mishnah says in Perek Yavos, a person should remember where they come from. We all come from nothing, and that should inspire us to do tshuva. That we shouldn't become too arrogant. Mar tzecha, what's your land? Istakum the meyari is baris alari tesuv. Remember that you come from the earth, and you're going to return to the earth. What people are you part of? Do you have zechus avos that you could turn to help you at this very difficult time? So according to the Zohar, this very powerful explanation, this rendition, if you will, of the beginning of Sefer Yonah, I really think speaks to us in a very, very meaningful way. And basically the Zohar is saying that the question that we should all be asking ourselves as we feel the ruach sa'ara, the great winds of Din. I just think it's very interesting the way this is considered to be hurricane season. Everybody should be well. Baruch Hashem, there are no, not that I know of, no major storms on the horizon that are threatening anybody at the moment. But very often, during the month of Elul and Tishrei, there are major storms that affect many, many people. And we are all right now sort of in about to be hit, so to speak, by a virtual hurricane. And the question that the Rava Chovel is asking each and every one of us is Malucha Nirda. How could you sleep? It's a powerful, powerful voice. How could you sleep? What, are you going to sleep now? Don't you realize what's going on around you? And I think when one takes a step back for a moment to consider, you know, what is my game plan this time of year? How do I hope to be able to accomplish and to be able to do, as we've been discussing, an effective cheshbon nefesh, to think about the way I've been living my life and how I can improve? So one of the ways that we can symbolically sort of knock ourselves, you know, in line is to say, you know, get up. You know, how could you sleep? How could you sleep? And maybe the idea of waking up in the middle of the night, or very early in the morning, yes, it's inconvenient. Yes, it is difficult to muster the strength. Yes, we're sometimes tired and exhausted. But at the same time, we should hear that little voice inside of our heads that said, Malucha Nirdam, how could you sleep now? Don't you know what's going on outside? And if it's difficult to relate to that, so just think about how we relate to Yonah. When you think about, when you read the story of Yonah, you think, how foolish can it be? Now you're going to sleep? Now's not the time to be sleeping. Everybody's running around, scurrying about, hoping that they will be able to survive this great storm. Now is not a time to be sleeping. Technically speaking, a person may sleep on Rosh Hashanah. Sometimes we're very exhausted. Sometimes it's even a good idea, so a person can have the strength necessary to come back to shul for mincha and to be able to get the most out of the day. But on a certain level, it's not going to work for everybody, but on a certain level, it's a day in which we should be asking ourselves, Malucha Nirdam, how could I sleep? How could I sleep? Don't I feel the urgency? Don't I feel the weight, the burden, and also the awesome opportunity that I have, you know, on this day of Rosh Hashanah? I'd like to sort of bolster this idea by sharing with you the words of the Rambam that are found in Hilchos Tanios, in the very beginning, in the first parak, parak Aleph, Halach Aleph, says the Rambam, Mitzvah Saseh Min HaTorah, It is a mitzvah from the Torah to cry out and to sound the trumpets literally at a time where there is a major tzara that is facing the community. If it's a time of great distress in the community. But says the Rambam is not talking about necessarily the Aseres Yemei Teshuva, but just in general. Doing so, responding to a communal tzara in such a way, is Nidarkei HaTshuva. This is one of the pathways of tshuva. Shebizman shetavot tzara v'yizakir elav v'yariyu yeidu akol shebeglal maseim harayim hura lehem. Because then people recognize and appreciate, wait a second, maybe I'm part of the problem. Things are happening out there and I can say, well, this has nothing to do with me. This is not my business. It's not affecting me personally. And even if it is affecting me, I'm just only one of 100, 1,000, a million. Says the Rambam, that's not the right approach. The approach is that we should sound the trumpet so everybody should be knocked out of their comfort zone and say, wait a second, maybe this is a calling for me personally that there's something I should be doing differently. And then says the Rambam, avalim lo yuzaku, v'lo yoriyu. But if we do not cry out and we do not sound the alarm, what we say, what's happening is just, these things happen. Fitzarzu nikra nikreis, this is just mikra. This is just a coincidence. Says the Rambam, powerful words, Hareza Derech Achzarios. This is really cruel. Interesting usage of the word Achzarios, says the Rambam, this is really Achzari. It's very cruel to take such a position. This just causes people to continue going about their evil ways. V'tosef Atzara Tzara Zacheros. As it says in Parshas Pukhukosa, V'halachtem imei bekeri, V'halachti imachem b'chamas keri. Klom, asha avi aleichem tzara, kedei shatashuvu, im tomur shu keri, yosef lechem chamas oso keri. Says the Rambam, The pasuk in Parshas B'chol Kosai is reminding us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes sends us storms in life to get us to recognize that we need to change what we're doing. And if we ignore them and say, well, this is just mikra, this is just minhag shel olam, so unfortunately, it can get worse and worse and worse. We know that it is the mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah that we blow shofar. Next week, Bezos Hashem, we're going to talk about the mitzvah shofar in greater depth. There is a very famous passage in the Rambam in Hilchos Teshuvah, the Rambam writes, why is it that we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah? We do so because the Torah says so. Says the Rambam, we blow the shofar because it's a gezeiras hakasav. And that should be the first and primary reason that we think about when it comes to the blowing of shofar. However, says the Rambam, even though it's a gezeiras hakasav, remez yesh bo, which means there is a message embedded within the mitzvah shofar. What is that message? Klomar, uru yeshena mishenaschem. The message of shofar is wake up. It's like an alarm clock. V'nirdami mekitzu mitidemaschem. Says the Rambam, the shofar is saying, if you're sleeping, remember that word, vayiradein, if you're slumbering, wake up. V'chipsu v'maseichem, search your ways, v'chizu v'tshuva, return to God. V'zichu barachem, remember your creator. Elu ha-shochem es-ha-emes, v'habli yazman, v'shogim koshnasim behevel v'rik, asher lo yovi v'lo yatzil. People who unfortunately, and this is each and every one of us from time to time, who waste time and don't take our responsibilities in this world as seriously as we should, we have to try to improve, look for ways to grow, to improve, etc. So says the Rambam, and this is very uncharacteristic of the Rambam to even go off on such a tangent. This is the type of passage you would expect, let's say, to find in the Sefer HaChinuch. The Rambam rarely goes off script to tell us what the reason for mitzvah over here, and you see how the Rambam prefaces by saying, listen, at the end of the day, the shofar is gzeiras hakasav. However, says the Rambam, it's clear that the message of the shofar is to say, wake up. Wake up. And the Rambam uses these words literally, not even as a metaphor. Uru yeshenim. He keeps him at tar demaskan. Now is not a time to be sleeping. All year we sleep. Not now. Now everybody's familiar with the first half of this Rambam. But then the Rambam continues in the very same halacha. And the Rambam says, lefichach. Therefore, a person has to see himself throughout the entire year as if he is right in the balance. We spoke about this briefly a couple weeks ago. Chesi Zaka v'chesi Chayev. It's like you can go one way or the other. And the whole world is Chesi Zaka v'chesi Chayev. And if I do one sin, so not only will I tip the balance against me, but the whole world will go down with me. And if I do one mitzvah, Hechui Yisatzmim v'skol ulum makav z'chus. Now this particular characterization of life in general is something which just seems like a great oversimplification, especially for the Rambam, the great rationalist. Understand exactly what the Rambam is saying over here requires a bigger discussion that we're not going to have right now. But I want to focus on that one word that's underlined, lefichach. What is the lefichach? Lefichach means therefore. Now you remember, right beforehand, the Rambam says, why we blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah? And then it says, lefichach, a person has to see if the entire world is basically resting on his shoulders. So I believe what the Rambam is basically saying is like this, that, you know what, at the end of the day, the shofar is an alarm. That's really what it is. It's an alarm which is supposed to alert us and awaken us and get us to do what we need to do. However, as you know, with any alarm in the world, if a person is not really prepared to listen to that alarm, so then they can sleep right through it. At least I can. I don't know about you. I'm very capable of sleeping through one alarm and then another and another and another and another. You hit the snooze button because at the end of the day, I don't care because it doesn't matter. Okay, good, so it's time to wake up. Well, you know what? I'll get up later. And therefore, the Rambam is saying the shofar can only have its intended effect. The shofar can only really effectively wake us up from our slumber if we recognize and appreciate how important it is, how central it is, and how incredible of an opportunity this is that lies before us. We're going to end earlier tonight than we have in the previous weeks, but in the last few minutes, I want to share a related thought with you, and I think that hopefully we'll sort of bring this all together. In the morning, we know each and every morning we recite the Berachos HaShachar. There are a series of brachos that we recite, and even though the Gemara tells us that these brachos are recited at different points throughout the morning, we know that it is our custom, generally speaking, to recite them all together in the shul. And there's more or less a logical sequence, if not necessarily obvious, but if you break it down, you can see certainly certain groups and sections of these mitzvahs. So first we recite the bracha, Shemasana Sachvivin Elav Chimin Yamavein Laila, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the capacity, the ability to differentiate between night and day, and we understand that that was a new day and a new opportunity. And then we ask, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for creating us with opportunities, and depending if a person is a man or a woman, you recite the bracha, well, first Shlo Asani Goy, Shlo Asani Yavid, Shlo Asani Isha, Shlo Asani Kirtzono, sort of reminding myself and identifying my purpose, my function, my identity in this world. And then we acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who enables us to see. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who provides us with clothing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who enables us, Matir Asurim, to move around, to move our limbs, to get around. Zokev Kefufim, it gives us the ability to stand up, that my body functions normally and allows me to stand up in the morning. Rokha Aretz Alamayim, that I can put my feet down on the ground and feel the safety and security of the ground and not be washed away by the water. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me Kol Tzarki. He provides me with all of my needs. Chazal say when a person puts on his shoes, he says the bracha of Shasa Likot Tzarki. I recognize I have what I need. Hemeichim mitzadegaver, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates opportunities for me to succeed throughout the day, and he prepares literally the steps that I'm going to take. And then we have brachos that refer specifically to the special, unique nature and opportunities of Klal Yisrael, that Hashem is Ozei Yisrael b'gvura, that He girds the Jewish people with strength. Ote Yisrael b'sefara, crowns them with glory. Hanosein la'yif koach, we're not going to talk about right now, but does seem to be sort of out of sequence, out of order here. All I'll tell you is that bracha is not found in the Gemara. Maybe that's the easiest explanation as to why it is where it is. The others are, but we'll come back to that another time. But here is the bracha that I'd like to focus on for a moment. The last bracha, which is a long one, begins with the words, Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, HaMavir Sheina Me'inai Usnama Me'af HaPoi. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes Sheina Me'inai, you remove the sleep from my eyes, Usnuma, which is another word for sleep, Tunuma, slumber, Me'af HaPoi, from my eyelids. And then when you go on, it says one continuous bracha, that it should be God's will, that you should allow us to grow accustomed to Torah, and we should cling to your mitzvos, and we shouldn't go off the derech, so to speak. We should stay focused on what we do. We should pick good friends. And we should listen to our Yetzer Tov and stay away from the Yetzer Hara and be good to us. And then we conclude the bracha, HaGomel Chasadim Tovim Lamo Yisrael, that God bestows goodness to the Jewish people. This is a very strange bracha. I'm going to ask a series of questions in a moment. Before we do so, let's just define this word tnuma, because we haven't really seen that word yet. We've spoken about Tardema, we spoke about Sheina. What is Tenuma? So the Gemara Pesachim, Kuf Chav HaMebeis tells us. You know what Tenuma is? The Gemara uses the word Nisnam name. Ravashi says, Nim velo nim, tir velo tir. A person is not really sleeping, is not really awake. Could go into Kari Leviani, you call his name and he responds. However, velo yadol adurei svar. But if you ask him a question, he doesn't give you an intelligent answer. But then when you remind about what happens, he remembers. Sort of like this, right? That's the, you know that state. I'm not looking around the room right now, but I have a feeling that, right? I mean, it's that state of being where you're not completely asleep or you're not completely awake. You're just sort of like in between. We're falling asleep sometimes and during a meeting, during a conversation, sometimes, God forbid, during shul. It happens, we fall asleep. And that is tnuma. That is that word tnuma. Right? Bracha Amav Yosheina Me'inoi Usnuma Me'afapai. So Rav Shimon Schwab, in his Perish on the Siddur, the book Rabbi Rav Schwab on Prayer, it's a fantastic book. I think last week or 2 weeks ago, I told you something about Rabbi Schwab. I told you then that I'm a big fan, and it happens to be one of my favorite books. Rav Schwab on Prayer is absolutely amazing. So he asks regarding this bracha four questions. He says, number one, shouldn't this bracha be at the beginning of the list? When you think about it, most of the brachos HaShachar go sort of in order, sort of in chronological order of the day. The first bracha that we should make in the morning is Hamavir Shein Neshenu Me'enayim. Yes, Usnamam Yafapoy. Just like what's the last bracha we say at night? Hamapio. So this is sort of the, you know, before you go to sleep, I say, Hashem, thank you for giving me the ability to fall asleep. And Hamavir Sheina is thank you for giving me the ability, the capacity to wake up. That should be the beginning of the list. Number two, says Rosh Schwab, what connection does this bracha have with the previous three brachos? Ozei yourself with gvura, otei yourself with sefara, and Rav Schwab actually explains how Hanosein Layev Koach is unique to the Jewish people. So But clearly, this bracha seems to be part of a different section in the series of brachas Hashachar. Number three, says Rav Schwab, the entire progression of this bracha is difficult to follow. What does waking up in the morning have to do with studying Torah and doing mitzvahs? We start the bracha saying, Amav Yosheinu Me'enoyis Namameh Afapayin, and then we say, God, please give me chizik throughout the day that I should learn your Torah and I should do your mitzvahs, I should be a good Jew. What does it have to do with the other? What are you talking about? It's just an acknowledgement, and thank you for helping me open my eyes in the morning. And finally, what does the end of the bracha have to do with the beginning? This is a very compelling question, because the Talmud actually has a rule that every bracha, the chasima, the conclusion of the bracha, has to sort of come back to and sort of define the essence of that bracha. This bracha begins with the words, Hamav Yosheinu Me'enoyis Namameh Afapayin. We think it's a bracha that is talking about God enabling us to wake up in the morning. And then we conclude with Hagomel Chasadim Tovim L'Amo Yisrael, that you bestow kindness upon the Jewish people. What does that have to do with waking up in the morning? This has nothing to do with, this is sort of a universal message, not unique to the Jewish people. So listen to how Rav Schwab explains this bracha. This is absolutely amazing. He says, in order to understand this, we've got to go all the way back to the beginning of time. In the second chapter of Sefer Bereishis, Hayapel Hashem Elokim Tardema La'adam, which means God anesthetized man, he made him go to sleep, he placed him in this unconscious state, like we would say, to like an induced coma, Vayishan, and Adam goes to sleep. Vayikach achas mitzalosov, vayizgar basar tachtena. He takes, as we know, part of the body of Adam, and he forms flesh around it. Vayivan Hashem elokim asatzela asher lokach min Adam liisha, vayivyeha el ha'adam. He takes this part of Adam, he fashions it into a new human being who is ultimately going to be Adam's wife, and he introduces Adam to his wife. Vayomer Adam, what does Adam say when he meets his wife for the first time? Zosapam, finally! Etzem me'atzamoy v'asar mi'bsari. Until now, the only creatures on earth that Adam has interacted with were animals. And he was able to look at them and see, these they're very different than me. They look differently, they have four legs. He says, finally, etzem me'atzamoy v'asar mi'bsari. Somebody who, you know, more or less were the same flesh, blood, bones. Lazosi kare isha. You know, I'm going to call her Isha. Because really, she's a part of man. She comes from man, so just like Amish, she'll be Isha perfect. We all know this story, right? Listen to what Rav Schwab says. This is absolutely amazing. He says as follows, and I wanted you to have a chance to see this inside. We'll read a little bit together. It is noteworthy, he says, that after the deep sleep, we do not find that Adam ever awoke. Right? If you go back, to show you back in one moment, what does it say? God put Adam to sleep. And then he did a little surgery, brings Chava into this world, and Adam names his wife, well, it doesn't say if he names a Chava, but he says, oh, we'll call her Isha. He says it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that Adam awoke. While he was in the original state of creation, before being divided into man and woman, this dual Adam HaRishon, was able to perceive the Shekhinah and was cognizant of Meloch HaLa'aretz Kevadol, that the entire world is filled with glory. Once the anesthesia of Tardema, deep sleep, fell upon him, Adam and his counterpart Chava did not regain the state of super awareness of the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They and all humanity which followed remained in the same limited state of awareness in which we live today. Says Rav Schwab, if you look carefully at the Torah, you'll see that before Adam was put to sleep and sort of split into two human beings, he was fully awake and alert. God puts him in the state of slumber and never woke him up. We as Bnei Yisrael did historically receive flashes of clear perception of the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We had the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, Matan Torah, the Nisim Gluyim in the desert. We were able to exclaim, Malchuscha Ra'u Vanecha, your children beheld your majesty. For short periods of time, we were able to come out of the Tardem of mankind. And then he quotes an amazing mashal. My Rebbe, Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz, the Mir Mashkiach, illustrated this concept with a beautiful mashal. There was once an institute for people who were blind from birth. They lived at this institute, married, worked, and led otherwise full lives. A famous professor of ophthalmology visited the institute, and he asked for a volunteer for a new operation which he had developed. He claimed that with this procedure he could restore sight, but the vision would only last for about 24 hours. One person volunteered and underwent the operation. The result was as predicted. For the first time in his life, this man saw the world, the faces of human beings, his wife, his children, smiling at him, colors, flowers, trees, houses. During the day, he saw the sun, at night, the moon and the stars. He saw the world. And then he went to sleep as usual. And when he woke up, he was blind as ever. However, after this experience, he was elected the leader of the Institute for the Blind. He knew how the world really looked, and he can act as an advisor to his associates in the Institute. This, said Rabbi Yeruchim, is the experience of Klal Yisrael in history. While mankind remained in a state of tardema, we are still asleep. We were privileged to see glimpses of Malchus Shemayim, the reign of God's kingdom during our great historical experiences. We heard Anochi Hashem Elokecha at Matan Torah. We perceive the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with clarity that the Torah tells us, HaTa'arez al Adas ki Hashem Elokim Einon Mevado. We were able, we were shown, we were given the ability to intellectualize as much as humanly possible the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the one and only Creator. However, after our great historical experience of revelations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we too slipped back into our tardema, a state of ordinary life. But after we were singularly privileged to have had these glimpses, we were appointed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be the Mamleches Kohanim, the spiritual teachers for the rest of mankind. We have become the leaders of the Institute for the Blind. So says Rav Schwab, this bracha of Hamavir Shein Ameinoist Mameh Fapai, in its broadest sense, thanks HaKadosh Baruch Hu for having awakened us, not literally from our beds, albeit for short periods of time, from mankind's slumber, and for allowing us to clearly witness the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. However, this bracha is only said in the first person, Me'inai Afapai, because unfortunately many of us are still blind, as is the rest of the world. And he goes on to say we can now understand the rest of the tefillah. We're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the ability to recognize him through his Torah, through the mitzvot, HaGomel Chasadim Tovim Lamo Yisrael, the greatest kindness that God has bestowed upon us is giving us these opportunities, these glimpses in history to be able to be awake. And with this, I conclude, because I really feel, even though this bracha we say all throughout the year, not only during this time of year, not during the month of Elul, Aseres Mechuva, and it is sort of applicable universally in all different seasons, it is a reminder of this very, very powerful and profound idea, and that is that, by and large, through most of our life, from day to day, week to week, month to month, we are sleeping. As Rav Schwab says over here, we may actually still be in the state of this induced coma that God put us into many, 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 many years ago. And we have to, with great effort, we have to try to sort of force ourselves open, our eyes open, and force ourselves to be awake and to be able to focus on all that is going around us. And so therefore, I suggest, Noagim lakum bashmores v'maslichus v'tachanunim. We end as we started, that the reason why the Mechaber teaches, the reason why our tradition is that we get up in the middle of the night, early, early in the morning, in order to say Slichos V'Tachanunin, is because there's really a calling to each and every one of us. The Rav HaChovel, the captain, the Yetzer Tov, is saying to each and every one of us, Malach HaNirda, how could you sleep? Now is not a time to sleep. Now is a time to be awake. Now is a time to be alert. Now is a time to prepare ourselves to receive, to welcome, and to coronate the Melech Malchei Hamlachim. Next week we will continue with a related discussion. People hearing without listening, discerning the shofar's many messages. I hope to talk about different explanations as to what the shofar is intended to teach us. I hope you'll join me again, same time, 8 o'clock next Tuesday night. Thank you. Have a wonderful night.